Good morning. Welcome to worship here at First Baptist Church in Beverly. Welcome, whether you are gathered here in our sanctuary space or whether you are gathering with us from your worship space during our live stream, or whether you are gathering with us at some other time later this week through our podcast. Welcome from wherever and whenever you are joining us, because it is such a joy to be gathered together at heart and in God's Spirit as we begin this service of worship, as we move through this, our season of Lent. This is our third Sunday in the season of Lent as we continue through our series that is entitled Windows, Mirrors, and Doors. So you may have noticed that mirrors have either been added to our window displays or on the prayer stations, there are prayers now that invite you to use the mirror in different reflective ways, including one here at the front, and there are two at the back. And you can feel free to use those prayer stations anytime you would like during the service of worship. As you come in and enter, as you are leaving, or at any point during the service, you are invited to get up, to move around, and to feel free to use those. And I do want to mention that one of them at the back invites you to pray a prayer called the knot prayer and create knots in a piece of twine, and then to take this with you throughout your week, whether you want to slip it in a pocket or put it around your belt loop or wear it around your wrist as a bracelet, that you might be reminded and invited to be in conversation with God about removing some of those obstacles, some of those knots that you pray into the prayer and that you see in your life and would like to work on unknotting. So with that, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. American writer Edith Wharton once said, "There are two ways of spreading light, to be the candle or to be the mirror that reflects it." In the faithful journeys of our lives, we are called truly to be both. At times, we step out using our voices and lives to shine our bright lights like candles, helping to bring God's light and God's love to our corners of the world. At others, we are those bearing witness to the bringers of light, using our own lives and voices to mirror it, to amplify it, and to reflect that light and love out into God's world. And at all times, we are called to be part of the heart of God's love and light in the world, to open ourselves to God's Spirit and to one another. Whether in moments like these when we are gathered together in communal worship, or in and out of the days, weeks, and months of our lives, as we come and go, as we move in and through God's world, holding, shining, and reflecting love and light as we go. So come now, you bringers of light, into these moments of worship. Come, you mirrors reflecting it broadly into the world with your hearts open, with individual lights burning bright, and with lives ready to reflect and to share that love. Come into this time lifting our voices in song as together we sing our opening hymn number 66, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. come and let us worship. We come now to the time in our service for the prayer of invocation, which will be followed by, on this Communion Sunday, our singing together of the Lord's Prayer. I will speak the words of the invocation, words that invite, invoke, and call upon God to be present with us, and then hope that you will join me in singing the Lord's Prayer together. The words for that prayer are printed in the order of worship, should you need them, and you are invited to join in singing with whatever words are most familiar to you. Let us pray. Loving God, God of all of the many journeys of our lives, and God of this, our Lenten journey, draw near to us in these, our moments of worship. Continue to be with us, O God, as we consider what lies beyond our window frames, as we take in your good world all around, as we notice and hold with respect all that we see, celebrating not only what is like us, but all our differences that make us so unique. Be with us, O God, as we consider what is reflected to us in the mirrors of our lives, as we consider the ways that we ourselves are called to reflect on our place and space and work and call in your good world. Be with us, O God, not only in these our moments of worship, but in all the moments of our daily travel. Help us to carry with us, O God, the hearts, the prayers, the lives of one another, and to carry with us, too, the stories, the teachings, and the foundational aspects of the life of Jesus, who came into the world to live like us, but to teach us what life can be, lived in your love and in your presence. And so it is, God, that as we lift up, as we remember Jesus' life and story, that we come together now to join our voices singing together the prayer that Jesus taught.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible prophet Jonah, reading from chapter 1, verse 17 through chapter 2, verse 10. I will be reading from the First Egalitarian Translation, but I invite you to follow along in whatever translation you may have on hand, or simply hear and receive these words of scripture. Then Yahweh sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and he remained in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. From the belly of the fish, he prayed to Yahweh, his God, and said, "Out of my despair, I cried to you, and you answered me. From the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and floods overwhelmed me. All your waves, your torrents, washed over me. And I said, I am banished from your sight. Will I ever again look upon your holy temple? The waters surrounded me right by my throat. The deep enclosed me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank down to the roots of the mountains. The vaults of the earth closed me in forever. But you raised my life back up from the pit, Yahweh my God. As my soul was ebbing away, I remembered Yahweh, my God, and my prayer came before you in your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake their own well-being, but I will sacrifice to you with a song of thanksgiving. I will fulfill the vow I made. Deliverance comes from Yahweh. Then God spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto the shore. Our second readings are from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, first verses 30 through 32, and then verses 45 and 46. The apostles came back to Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to some place more remote and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and the apostles hadn't had time to eat. So they went away in a boat to a deserted area. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up the hillside to pray. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I, for one, was able to grasp pretty quickly the idea of a window looking out into the world. And also, I can grasp pretty well the concept of a door that you go through and out into the world. The mirror took a little work. Looking within. Because when you look at a mirror, 9 times out of 10, what you're looking at is whether your hair is straight or your makeup is right or whatever it is that you're looking for. But it's right out front. It's very superficial, shall we say. But when we look inward, which is what I think we're trying to do with the mirror in this case, here at First Baptist Church, here in Lent, I think we are trying to go a little past the superficial. We've explored the metaphor of the window, and it offers us a vision that is beyond our immediate surroundings. The windows can offer us vistas that can deepen our faith and help us understand our role in living out the faith that is commended to us by God. Now today, we turn it around. Today, we look inward. We use a mirror, and there's one right there. And it's not just to see our superficial selves, but to look deeper, to look beyond the surface, to find the resting place of the Holy Spirit that is within each of us. It is the awareness of the gifts that lie within that give us strength to move past that and on to the next step, which, not to tip things off any, but is going to be a door. Jesus was a great proponent of taking time to look inward. In the Gospels, as we heard today, He would take time away after preaching and after healing and after feeding, time to be alone, to rest, and to pray. And he encouraged his disciples to do likewise, as we heard a few minutes ago. Now, prior to that, he had sent them out two by two into the world to do what he does, to preach the gospel, to heal, to feed. And they came back quite surprised that they'd been able to do it. And they were thrilled. And what does he do? He tells them, let's go away to a deserted place because you cannot rest here with these crowds around us. Now what happened was they got in a boat to go to a deserted place and the people on shore followed them. And that's what he went on to feed 5,000 men plus women and children and who knows who else. And then he needed to get away, which is what we also heard. He went up the mountain to pray and sent them off in the boat by themselves. You know where this is going because you know the gospel inside and out. It's stories like this that make me think that despite his calling, Jesus may have been something of an introvert. Because like me, after dealing with crowds and after preaching and doing all the things that you do in ministry, I need to get away and rest and be quiet, to pray, to maybe take a nap, and just enjoy the quiet. It's always kind of surprising who turns out to be an introvert in this line of work, because there's many of us. I would say probably most of us are introverts in one way or another. And it's a very helpful way to be. Not necessarily being an introvert, but going off by oneself and being quiet. In a sense, looking into that mirror and looking for the Holy Spirit within, where you get your energy, where you get your source of all power. These are opportunities for reflection, all kinds of reflection, that bring us to the idea of mirrors, again, as the opposite of windows. That, in turn, brings us to Jonah. This is one of my favorite stories in the Hebrew Scriptures. As you may remember, Jonah was a prophet, but to say a reluctant prophet is to put it mildly. Jesus would give him an assignment. God would give him an assignment. He wouldn't necessarily want to do it. As a matter of fact, when God gives him the assignment in this book, the book of Jonah, the first thing he does is go in the opposite direction. He's supposed to go to Nineveh and preach and prophesy. And what does he do? He hops in a boat and goes to the opposite ends of the earth. So when a big storm blows up, he knows it's God. And he told the crew, you can save yourselves. Just throw me overboard and all will be well. And they do, and it is for them. Meanwhile, as we heard in the reading, he got swallowed by a fish. And he sat there in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And what does he do? He turns inward and he prays. And he prays a very heartfelt prayer to God. A very heartfelt prayer. It's a time for introspection. Oh yeah, plenty of shortcomings. This is Jonah. He's not one of God's stellar prophets, but he is a prophet, and he does have a job. His prayer is heartfelt and honest and is heard, and he's spewed up onto the shore by the big fish, onto dry land, essentially where he started. And God again tells him, go to Nineveh and prophesy. And this time, he did. Of course, his bad attitude was never very far away. And he was hoping to see an example of God's wrath on Nineveh rather than God's mercy. And if you haven't read the book lately, I encourage you to do it. It's a short story. It's only 4 chapters. But there is just so much going on in it. And it's just so wonderful. The heartfelt and honest prayer from the belly of that fish was long gone, and Jonah was as petulant as ever. But he did deliver the message. He did prophesy, and lo and behold, Nineveh changed its ways. And much to Jonah's chagrin, well, God spared and showed mercy to the people of Nineveh, plus the many animals. Sometimes when we look within and we see God at work and we respond appropriately, sometimes we just muddle through. And I'll be the first to say I've muddled through on more than one occasion. And sometimes, like Jonah, we may do what we're supposed to do, but we have a bad attitude anyway. Good comes from looking away from the window and seeking what is in the mirror, our interior selves, not that stuff on the superficial stuff. I'm not talking about when we look and see if our hair is parted properly, but our interior selves. There we find God, if we can take the time and the quiet to do so, because God is always there. Lent is a perfect season for thinking on these things, for trying these things. But such an exercise is not only for Lent. It's a good time to start. It's a good time to perhaps make a habit of it, but then carry it with you and use it regularly. It can only help us to be more effective ministers and better people. Amen.
We come now to our time of giving, our offering. And to begin, I want to remind us that we will actually take two offerings this morning. There is this offering that takes place in the context of the service, and then following worship, the deacons will be outside, ready to receive a fellowship offering, which we do every first Sunday of the month with communion. And this is an offering specifically designed to collect resources that can be used for those in our community who are in particular need. And the deacons manage that fund and try to figure out who it is that can best use some of those resources that we have available to us. But this moment here is less about what we're doing with the resources that come in and more about what we're doing in ourselves when we give. So much of what we care about when we look in a mirror to scrutinize ourselves and maybe fix what it is that we see there really is superficial. Our concern for appearances does not typically stop at what our face, body, and hair look like. It also extends to that stuff that we surround ourselves with. The accessories that we hope will help us present a sharper image to the world. But when we look within, when we begin to recognize, when we begin to see in the mirror how it is that God sees us, we realize that that stuff is not so important. And so God encourages us to practice. Practice, not counting on that stuff so much, not thinking it matters so much, by giving. And not just giving, but giving cheerfully. Let us give with cheerful hearts.
The crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown. crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back. And he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. The blood cleanse the souls of all men, made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Be seated. It is our tradition here at First Baptist in Beverly that before we come together to share in this communion meal on the first Sunday of each month, that we pause and have an opportunity to share some of the concerns and celebrations that may be upon our hearts. And so I ask if you do have a concern or a celebration that you would just raise your hand and once called on, if you would share your name so that folks can get to know each other and then share your concern or celebration. Let's come together now in a moment of prayer. And as we do, if you had the opportunity to pick up one of these small slips of paper as you came in, or if not, as you leave, these are part of our Lenten practice. They are all new these 2 weeks. They are mirror related. So I encourage you, even if you had some window related practices, continue to explore what is there. If you have one, you can take it out and reflect upon it during these moments of prayer, but during your week as well. And if not, you can get up at any point and take one from the baskets at the back or take one as you go. But we are invited to consider ways that we notice reflections and what is reflected to us in different ways throughout this week. But let us come now into a time of prayer as perhaps you reflect on the words you received, the prayer requests that you heard, or the prayers that are upon your heart. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for communities where we can come together and share those things that are upon our hearts, the worries and the heavinesses that we carry, as well as the joys and celebrations that we wish to lift up and celebrate together. We give you thanks for all those here and in our communities beyond that hear and hold our prayers as lovingly and tenderly as if they were their own. We give you thanks to you, O God, for the confidence we have that you hear and hold every prayer, those that we speak aloud and those that we whisper in silent sighs, lifting them to you in moments of quiet. We ask, O God, that you would be with us as we move through this week, as we notice what is reflected in us, through us, and beyond us in your world. We ask that your Spirit would continue to move in our midst and be with us now as we gather around this table. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This table that God has prepared for us is a clear window through which we can see God's boundless love for us and for all creation. Here, Jesus invites all of his disciples through the sharing of the bread and the cup to remember the love poured out for us, to remember the sacrifice made for us, and to remember the gift of the Spirit given to us. This table also presents a mirror for introspection. As we imagine ourselves joining those first disciples at that Last Supper that Jesus shared with them, we may reflect on how faithful we have been in carrying out the call that Jesus extends to all disciples. Some of what we see in this mirror may unsettle us, but if we look closely enough, we can make out the truth of who we are reflected in that mirror. Lovingly created in the image of God and made whole, completely whole, in the work of Jesus. So come, beloved of God. This table is set for you, and all are welcome to come and find God here. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was about to be betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This bread is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ, broken for all of us, and through which all of us will be made whole."
And then in a similar manner, after they had finished their meal, Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks for it, he gave it new meaning when he said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out for the many. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." This cup reflects for us a well of love that will never run dry. So let us drink of it now together. Scripture tells us that after Jesus and the disciples had finished their meal, they sang a hymn and went out. "Let us go now and do likewise," singing together our closing hymn, number 595, "Be Thou My Vision."
The God of Sarah and Abraham, and of Jesus Christ, born of our sister Mary, and of the Holy Spirit who broods over the world as a mother over her children, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.